We are continuing our study of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, with the last thought we want to leave with you concerning the parable of the hid treasure. You will recall that that parable was presented in simply one verse in Matthew 13. The words, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, which when the Lord Jesus Christ hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth the field." We have determined in our study of the word that the hid treasure is the nation of Israel. Israel's history is presented in this parable from the past up to her rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we do not want to stop with our comments there, because if we did, the story would be incomplete. So will you look again, please, at verse 44, the very last statement, "He hideth, and for joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." Now I would like for you to think with me about buying the field. We have already noticed that the field is the world, the man is the Lord Jesus Christ. So, packed up into these few simple words is the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ buying the world. What did we read in our text? "He goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth the field." All of this is involved in buying the field, going and selling all that he hath. That little word "goeth" intrigues me. It was so wisely chosen by the Holy Spirit. It is the translation of the Greek word "hupago," which very literally translated means "go quietly." You see, there was no fanfare when the Lord Jesus Christ died. I say this reverently. We make a big thing out of the death of Christ, and rightly so. He is our Savior. But historically, the death of Christ did not disturb the world at all. They could not have cared less. They looked upon him as one of three criminals who were crucified. You see, he went quietly when he left this earth, and he came into it quietly as well. True, there was a star in the east. True, the wise men from the east came, but the world as a whole couldn't have cared less that a baby was born. True, Herod, very much concerned because of the prophecies of someone who was going to take his kingdom being born at that particular time, was guilty of what we commonly refer to as the slaughter of the innocents. But I repeat, generally speaking, he came quietly and he left quietly. We remember oftentimes his disciples said unto him, "Why don't you do this in a big way? Why don't you let the world know why you are here and what you're going to do?" And he would simply answer, either by silence or by words, the equivalent, "That's not why I came." His family, remember, was very provoked with him. One time, they thought it would be a wonderful opportunity for him to really declare himself, and they said, "Go on, tell who you are, do it in a big way." And he said, "I can't do that. I don't need to do that. That is not the purpose for which I came." Everything he did quietly. We've been speaking about the withdrawals of the Lord Jesus Christ at this particular period of his life, and we'll think about some others of them. But the emphasis upon the idea is that when anyone else would have stayed because there was a great opportunity to make a big name for himself, he went off all by himself. He did not seek the glory of men. May I digress, but for a second, to make a point? I'm awfully tired of the circuses in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't believe, it's difficult to believe, that we have all of this foolishness connected with Christ. When we try to reach the world, he went quietly to his crucifixion. He lived quietly because he was not depending upon the acclaim of men, but on the power of God. And that's the difference. Remember, Peter, in his zeal for the Lord, cut off the ear of one of the high priest's servants. The Lord Jesus quietly restored the ear and said, Peter, put up your sword. I don't need any help. He said, I could lift one finger toward heaven and legions of angels would come to my rescue. But that's not what I came for. I didn't come to make a show. Did you notice in verse 44 we were told that the Lord Jesus Christ sold all that he had and bought the field? Here again is the wisdom of the Holy Spirit in choosing words. He could have chosen any number of words for the word sell, but he chose the Greek word poleo. This is a word that describes giving something in exchange for something else, not just a mere transaction of money. We've already said that salvation is without money and without price. What are we reading here then? We are reading that the Lord Jesus Christ exchanged something that was precious to him for the world. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, we read, Christ, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, he did not think that he needed to stay within his grasp the glory that he had at the Father's side. He gladly laid it aside. Paul so beautifully illustrates the sacrifice of the Savior in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, in the words, "Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." His riches for our poverty. His riches for our poverty. Isn't it tremendous? This he did when he bought the field. The word buyeth should not be neglected here, because the Holy Spirit, in a very precious fashion, reminds us of what happened. Any number of people could have used other words had they been writing an ordinary book, and the Holy Spirit could have chosen other words to express what happened by the word buyeth, but He used the word agorazo, and that word agorazo elsewhere is translated by the word redeemed. As a matter of fact, in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, we are told that a great number of people before the throne of God are people who were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and that word agorazo is used, bought by the blood of the Lamb. Now I would like to suggest to you another thing, because it's here in the parable. Let me say, as I mentioned this, I don't like crucifixes. I just don't like to see them. You know, a dead Christ hanging on the cross. Now I hope you will understand the spirit in which I say that. I don't like crucifixes because they remind me of death. And death is morbid. They remind me of helplessness, and helplessness is discouraging. I like the empty cross, provided you don't attach too much significance to it, because the empty cross reminds me that we are not talking about death. We are talking about life, and when we are talking about life, we are talking about joy. And what do we read here in Matthew 13, verse 44? And for the joy thereof, he goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth the field. What do we read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2? The Lord Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, that you and I might know that field that he purchased provides sanctuary for us, for we were in that field too, as well as was the hid treasure. Jesus Christ? Did not die a disappointed martyr to a forsaken cause, as I once heard a liberal preacher say? Jesus Christ joyfully went to the cross because he found something in the cross that he wanted. He found something in the field that was worth dying for. And what was it? Well, in this parable, it was Israel. When you have time, read Malachi 3, verse 17, for there you will discover that one day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back for the treasure that he himself hid in the field. He's going to come back to make up his jewels, and his jewels are Israel. I would remind you that the church, the body of Christ, is very important to the Savior as well. For we have our part. And we'll be discussing that in the next parable, in our next study. And I do hope that you will be able to be with us and perhaps call someone and encourage them to listen to these precious truths from the Word of God along with you.